to Proverbs. If you're taking notes, you can use the back of the bulletin, and then it's there for you to follow along. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. Let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that we have the privilege to read things that tell us about you. And we can trust your word, Lord. We're thankful that we can be encouraged but also challenged, as we often are challenged when we read your truth and your sometimes rebukes, your corrections, your training, your discipleship. And Lord, I just pray that as we look into your word together, that you will anoint us all. I need your anointing, Lord, to speak your words. I want to get out of the way so that you can have your way. I pray, Lord, that my ears and all of us together will be anointed to hear what you have for us all. Because sometimes it's just jabbers and babbles and words, and we're not really listening. So, Lord, I pray that you will anoint us to hear. And also, we pray your anointing, Lord, for the courage to apply it, to take your words of truth and to live them and to apply them to our daily living. I pray this for myself and for all of us together in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I would like to talk about a word that is often overlooked or not brought up. It's sometimes left unsaid. And it used to be that people in society in general lived by it, because it was so important, and now it seems our society has left it by the wayside. No longer values it, sweeping it under a rug per se in order to ignore it, and that's the word integrity. Integrity is an important focus, I believe, for all believers. And I think about myself and how am I doing when it comes to integrity? I wish I could say that I'm without flaw. I wish I could say without any shame that every word I ever speak is 100% accurate and true. There are times when we find ourselves as people in general telling our stories, and we might embellish them just a little. In our family growing up, there was a phrase that came along. My aunts would say it, usually to my dad or my uncle, Mike, or someone else. As I got older, it probably applied to me, and they would say this phrase, Petersonly speaking, fish story, right? I don't believe I have an intentional desire to lie, and I'm pretty confident that most believers would agree. We don't intentionally want to be liars. And yet we find ourselves trapped by our own words at times. And I have to check my spirit all over again and wonder, am I a man of integrity? It's my hopes to be so. But I'm a work in progress. And I do my best to tell my stories accurately, and I have some pretty crazy stories. And some people look at me, that never really happened, did it? And I'm, yes, it did. And I think back to those times, and my cousin Chad can relay some of those things that he experienced at his own expense at times. But I want to be truthful and not embellish. Now, is that really what we're referring to here? I believe yes. I think it should apply in all parts of our lives that we should be men and women of integrity, that we can trust that what we say is true. You know, Jesus, as he stood before Pontius Pilate, when you recall that he was on trial and people were calling for his life, they wanted to crucify him, he declared that he had come to testify to the truth to Pontius Pilate. And Pilate's response is so amazing in its innovative response of the culture of that day, which certainly does apply today as well. His response was this: what is truth? And I've heard it said more and more in our society in such a way to say or claim this fact, if you will, using it quite loosely. You have your truth. I have my truth. What's your truth? Here's what my truth is. That's not truth. That might be your perspective of something, but it's not truth, because truth is absolute. It doesn't waver. It's solid. It's a rock. Jesus Christ is the truth. The Word of God is truth. He himself is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And that is the bottom line. And yet, when we poll different cultures, young people, middle-aged, different people, there are so many that have this concept that if you really believe something strong enough, that it might be okay. And that is not what God's Word declares. The question, what is truth, is still being asked today. Truth is a very important thing. It's important to God, and it's vital to your relationship with him. Here's something that's kind of earth-shaking. Jesus uses this phrase in the recorded scriptures, I tell you the truth, 80 times. 80 times it's recorded that he said, I tell you the truth. Why? Because it's important. Truth is important. To be a man or woman of integrity is important. When our kids were young and we were at home, and let's say it's my day off, I don't want to have to get out of a certain pattern of relaxation because the rest of the week is hard enough. And I hear the phone ring, and someone answers the phone on my behalf, is my kids. And they say, hello? Oh, and they want me. And what is the temptation to do? Tell them I'm not here. Now, I will say the reason I share this story is because I made a commitment early in our marriage, and Tina and I didn't do that. We didn't use the phrase, tell them I'm not here, because what is that? That's a lie. We just taught our own children to lie for us, if that is what we did. So we rephrased it. Tell them I'm unavailable. Is that a lie? No, I'm not available. I'm not answering the phone right now. I'm busy with this wrench, or I'm building a garage, or whatever it might be, or I'm right in the middle of cooking supper. I don't have time to talk. So be honest and accurate with what you say, because the integrity of your words is so important. And so, having raised children, we've done our best to do that. I wish I could say my kids never lied to me, but that's not the truth. I would love to say that. All the parents say amen. But the reality is our kids come by it quite naturally. You don't have to teach a little toddler how to be naughty. You have to teach them how not to be naughty. The sin nature is strong. There are many crises in the world today. This morning we'll look into the crisis of truth and integrity. Integrity in its understanding is completeness and wholeness, perfect complete. Those are the two words that can go along with it. And our dictionary actually says it's this way. It is the quality or state of being of sound moral principle, uprightness, honesty, sincerity. You cannot be a complete or whole person without integrity. So the challenge that we're going to look at today is live a life of integrity before God, believers, and unbelievers. It's so important. Just for fun, I got a few little things to read with you. A situation came up with this couple. A woman and her husband were invited to her rich aunt's home for dinner. And I believe, in the context, that means supper. Come on, all you farm kids, say amen. I eliminate dinner from my vocabulary. I have breakfast, lunch, and supper. Dinner doesn't exist anymore. So, we had this conversation. So the wife insists of her husband, treat my aunt politely. Her dessert was an original recipe. It was terrible. The husband responded, I must say, this is the best cake I have ever tasted. Okay, on the way home, his wife told him that she had not meant that he had to lie to his aunt or her aunt. And the husband replied, I told the truth. I said, I must say, this is the best cake I have ever had. Yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty good. Covered it well. Well, here's another short one. You'll relate to this, I'm afraid. If you can't relate, praise the Lord. Nothing makes a long story short like the arrival of the person you happen to be talking about. And then they went to bed. What was that? Oh, nothing. We're just talking about something. Here's an old one that it's one of my favorites. You're going to like this. Oh, that's not where I'm at. Did I lose it? Oh, here it is. An Englishman went abroad, leaving his much-loved dog and his servant at home. While away, the man received a cablegram from the servant. This is back in the day, by the way. He received a cablegram from the servant with the message saying, your dog died. Everybody go, aw. Yeah, thank you. That helps. He was most distraught, both at the news and the abrupt manner that it was sent. Upon returning home, he upbraided his servant for not breaking the news to him more gently. Confused, the servant asked his master how such news could have been delivered more gently. The man said he could have sent a first cable saying, your dog is stuck on the roof. I don't know what kind of roof that would have been, but hey, your dog is stuck on the roof. This could be followed by the next message, your dog fell from the roof and is doing poorly. Later, a third message could have said, your beloved dog has gone to his eternal reward. Sometime afterwards, the man went abroad again. He was a traveling man. While there, he received a cable from his servant saying, your mother is stuck on the roof. You gotta love it. I guess sometimes things just don't get there. Let's talk about integrity. First of all, let's say the obvious. God knows when you're lying. He's got it all together. He's sovereign. He's absolutely knowing of all things. Why do we pretend we can be dishonest with him? Who are we really fooling other than ourselves? In Mark chapter 12, verse 28, about integrity with God, this is where it begins. One of the scribes came up and heard this dispute with Jesus and another, and seeing that he answered him well, he asked this question, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second one is very similar. Love your neighbor, who is like yourself, is the correct way to say that. There is no other commandment greater than these. To be a man or woman or young person of integrity with God, you need to love him with your whole heart. You need to love him with more than gesture and words. It's you're all in or you're not at all. He knows the difference. He knows when you truly do love him with your whole heart. He knows when you truly love him with your soul, with all that you are. You see, your soul is ever hungry, ever longing for God. Every soul that's ever been has longed to have communion with God. Now, not every person understands the longing of the soul. But I've said this many times, and I'll say it one more time. When you appreciate that beautiful sunset and take the 1,001 picture of the sunset, something is happening in your soul as it's connecting to the creator of such beauty. When there's this beautiful sunrise, it's the same, or some other thing of God's creation that happens, something deep within you is connecting there. You may not be able to put words on it, but it's a soul thing, and your soul longs for God. And here's the bottom line. Even someone who claims to not believe in God has a soul that longs for him. And the connection they have with creation is evidence of it. And there's so much more. But I want to ask you, does your soul long for him beyond the sunset? Does your soul long to be in his presence? Here's a good way to know. Are you looking forward to heaven, or are you looking forward to seeing Jesus face to face? Which one do you really dream of? Too many of us in the church today believe or have this concept of heaven is the greatest place on earth. No, it's not. It's not on earth in a sense, I guess. But really, is it heaven that you long for? Because if you're longing for heaven, you're not longing for the right thing. It's about him. And here's the cool thing, the thing that's beyond all comprehension. You don't have to wait for death to know him, to be in his presence. You don't have to wait for eternity. He is here now. He's within my heart. He's within your heart if you believe in him and have accepted him as your Savior. You don't have to wait for the promise of his presence. But what do we dream of? We dream of streets of gold in our own palace. I'm sorry, but that's shallow. That's not God's dream for you. And so I want to encourage you to love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and all your strength. As the Word of God declares, it is the greatest commandment, and you cannot truly love him and not be one of integrity. Because you do not lie to the one you love. You do not lie to the one that you cherish the most. You live above reproach for the sake of that love. Your relationship with God involves all of you, not just a part of you. Integrity with God. If you are not honest and sincere with him, integrity breaks down. Be real. Now, here's the bottom line when it comes to real with God. I have been angry at God before. Anybody else? It's okay. I've been angry at God. I don't like this, Lord. This makes me mad. And I've been honest with him about it. I am angry right now. I do not understand this. This is not good. And you know what? God didn't reject me. God didn't say, "How dare you be angry at me?" No, he loved me through my anger because I was honest with him. It would have been wrong for me to say in my anger, "I'm not mad. Praise the Lord." But I honestly was not happy. And I told him. And here's what I got. I got a big hug. "It's okay. It's okay to be angry at me, Kevin. We'll get through this together." I've been overjoyed with the Lord. Last year when I shot that elk, I'm sorry for all you anti-hunters out there, but I was beyond myself with a trembling joy of thanksgiving. And I'm worshiping God loud, and I'm not a loud person unless I'm talking and preaching. And I'm out there in the backcountry up in the breaks, and I'm, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh. And I'm like, praise the Lord. And I'm thinking, I look like one of those fools on TV right now. That's what I thought to myself. I'm just like one of those guys. And Tina's like, really? Come on. You know, she can't handle those hunting shows. She's like, that is so dumb. And I'm like, but you got to just understand. And I was that guy. I felt so embarrassed for myself at first. But it was an experience of pure joy and thanksgiving, because the way it all happened was just off the wall, weird. It shouldn't have happened, logically speaking, but it did. Be real with your joy. Be real when things aren't going well. Be honest with Him. He's okay. He can handle it. He can handle the truth. Amen? And you will be so thankful that as you walk with Him through your emotions of the challenges of the day, that He will be closer, not further away. Turn to Proverbs with me. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. How does God feel about integrity? How does He feel about honesty? There it is right there. An abomination is pretty serious stuff. So don't lie to Him. I mean, He knows already anyway. Be faithful, honest, integrity, and you will be His delight. That's pretty cool. Look at Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 3, it says, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. We've heard this before. You know, we know that King Saul got himself into some big trouble because he did not do what the Lord told him to do, and he tried to cover it up with, well, I know how important it is to have sacrifices, so we decided to save all these animals for a sacrifice, and he was not honest, not truthful. And the word came to him, to obey is better than sacrifice. And here's another take on it. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And I wrote this down. It says, it doesn't matter how well you sing, how great you can quote scripture, or how you give in the offering. Everybody say, ouch. What matters is the sincerity of your love of God, doing right on His behalf, is more important than what you do as an act of praise sacrifice. Now, is it good to sing praises to the Lord? Yes. Is it good to give of your own income for the offerings and the tithes of His work? Yes, absolutely, it is very good. But that's not what it's all about. It's not about how good you look as a Christian standing before all. What matters is in the secret place, how you honor and worship Him. That's more important than the greatest preacher that's ever stood before a congregation or an audience. Psalm 41, verse 12, it speaks of integrity. By His integrity, you uphold me, it says. You upheld me because of the integrity and set me in your presence forever. God will honor you as you honor Him. Amen? Look at Acts 23. Real quickly, we'll look at Paul's words here. Acts chapter 23. It's not Paul's writings, but it's about Paul. Verse 1. And looking intently at the council, Paul said, brothers, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience up to this day. That's a pretty incredible statement. It's an interesting thing, Paul's life. You probably know very well that his name was not always Paul, that it at one time was Saul. You probably know that he was the up-and-coming Pharisee. He was looked upon with great respect and awe because of his ability to be a teacher, a leader in the religious realms. And you also know that while he was very passionate about his faith in God, he was wrong about how he treated those that were of the way, the new church. And his passion in the religious realms and his honor and respect to God led him to actually stone those who were believers or imprison them, stand by and say, yes, that's good. Take care of those terrible people that are starting this new cult, if you will. And yet on the road to Damascus, when he was going to take care of some business, the Lord God showed up and knocked him from his ride, and he became blind as the word of God came to him, and he was changed from that day forth. But the reality is, he was passionate before he was a believer. And so we can honestly say, even in the midst of all that's happened of his life, brothers, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience. I was passionate when I was wrong, and now I'm passionate and I know I'm right. That's pretty cool. He was a man of integrity through it all. And that's a pretty good quality. There are people in the world that aren't believers that are men and women of integrity. When they tell you the truth, when they say what they say, and they believe what they believe, they're honest. Bless them for that. You can be honestly wrong and still be a one of integrity. I believe in the political realm. Have you watched politics lately? Woo-hoo-hoo! Wow. I have to believe that they believe what they're saying is true. I have to. That's the best way I can handle some of that. Because some people are very, very passionate about what they believe politically. And I would have a difference of opinion about a political stand. But here's the thing. Are you a man or woman of integrity? Or are you just lying to my face? I hope you're not lying to me. Amen? Paul was a man of integrity, even when he was wrong. That's kind of a hard one to swallow. Are you a man or a woman of integrity with God? How about with believers? We're going to rapidly go through this next little bit. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 13. Let love be genuine. Integrity, right? Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Oh, you think that was honorable to me? I'm going to show you how to really honor. I think that's funny. I don't know. Maybe you guys just aren't on my same wavelength. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. That's some pretty good stuff. Those are ways of treating one another with integrity. You should respect one another, honor one another, show sincere love, goodness with one another. Turn to Galatians. And when I say this, I want you to understand, I'm not just limiting this understanding to this church. This is all believers. Come on, let me hear an amen. We're speaking of all believers of this community. Treat with honor and respect and love. Don't talk down another church. Please don't do that. Bless them and pray for them and encourage them. And there are so many times in the past that we have come in conflict with one another rather than embracing. And we need to stop that and love one another through it all. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I like that. You should be one of integrity with everybody, but especially for those within God's church, His family. How about Philippians chapter 4? I don't think I have the right one written down. 4 verse 8. There we go. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Don't go down the rabbit hole of gossip and tearing people down and chewing them up and spitting them out. Amen. There we go. Come on. When we're struggling, we want to help. We're a family. Amen. Blessing one another. Encouraging one another. Not tearing them down, lifting them up. Treat one another with integrity that involves all these things. Loving your neighbor as yourself. I love the correction I received while in Israel. It really is saying, love your neighbor who is like yourself. And here's the bottom line. We're all neighbors. We're all neighbors. We're all God's creation. We're all human beings that God has put on this earth. So we love everyone. We may not always agree, but we can still love. Amen? So we have to live our lives as one, or people, I should say, that have integrity with God. We should have integrity with one another as believers, but we also need to have integrity with the unbeliever. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. One of the saddest things I've ever heard in one of my churches I was leading, as a member shared this conversation with me, they had been witnessing to friends, and they were encouraging them, well, just come to church with me sometime. And the response was, why would I want to go to your church? They have more problems than the person at the bar. And the reality was, he was right. We had a lot of problems happening. Backbiting and divisions, gossip and tearing people down. It was horrible. And that person was, the church is just full of hypocrites. Why would I want to go there? There was a lack of integrity. And the world notices. The people who are looking for truth, they're looking for something more than this life can offer. They look to us and they see our problems. They see our hypocrisy. They see our double standards. And they say, well, I don't want any part of that. You know, back in the day when we would have those that would say one thing on Sunday and live differently on Monday through Saturday, the perspective was they just really aren't true believers. That was the perspective. They really don't believe. They're just pretending. But here's the way society sees it now. If you are one that can come to worship on Sunday but not live the life on Monday through Saturday, then it must not be true. You see the difference? It must not be true. If it was true, they would live that way. If it was true, they would really love people. If it was true, they really serve God faithfully all the days of the week. But it must not be true. Because they don't do that. We cannot let that happen. Because I know he is true. He is love. I want to be the one he's called me to be. A man of integrity that loves unconditionally. And cares enough to go out of my comfort zone. And just encourage people because that's what it's all about. We're all here together. Let's just come together under God's wonderful grace and mercy. But the world sees other things at times, and it's really too bad. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. In other words, I shouldn't have to tell you this. It's so obvious. Love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Wow. I shouldn't have to tell you this, he says, about loving one another. But I want to encourage you, do it more and more. Don't do it less and less. More and more, and be one of integrity, if I can put that word in there, because of those who are outside of the family of God. They're watching you. They're taking notes. Here's the truth. Unbelievers may not read the Bible, but they do read you. They read you. They read me. I think it's funny when I'm with people, and I just love people. I think people are awesome. They're so different from me. I mean, I'm a people, but I'm a different kind of people. And that's cool. I like the diversity of all of us, and it's really neat. And I've had people that have met me in some other realm, and we're talking, we're having fun, we're doing whatever, and then it comes up somehow through the conversation about what I do. Well, I'm a pastor. They're like, you're a pastor? And they kind of look at me like, what? Well, yeah. So? I mean, we're all just people, right? And yet, the reality is sometimes if we're not careful as pastors, we start carrying an air of importance, like, look at me. I'm something special. And we walk down that road that leads to that flat face fall. And I don't want to be that. I want to just be me. That was the deal. When God called me to be who I am today, I did not want to do it. I said, absolutely not. I'm not like that. I'm not like this person. I can't be that pastor. I'm not like this person in my class. They are the pastor type, not me. And as I fought God for probably 3 years on it, I finally gave up the fight. And I finally said yes. And here's why I did. Because while I was praying, I told God I wanted to be me. I know that sounds really silly. But he's like, that's who I want you to be. I'm like, really? You want me to be me? I mean, that was earth-shattering, life-changing. I can actually be me in the ministry. I can be the guy that needs help building a garage because I really don't know what I'm doing. Who does that? I guess I do. I can be the guy that goes out and ropes or rides horse and helps with a roundup. And I get words of encouragement about how to stretch a calf properly when you're going to brand them. Thank you, Jesus, for that. All you ranchers say amen. Someone was really nice to me and gave me some good tips. But I can do that. I'm a farm kid. I'm just a guy that used to work field work. Started driving when I was 7. It's just me. And God said, I want you to be you. And I said, if I can be me in the ministry, I'm in. Be you. The you that God created. That as he speaks into your life, you become whole. As you give him yourself to him, you finally become complete as who you are. And as you live your life, don't put airs on. Simply be you as you follow God. And those that are in this world will recognize and say, this is real. This is more than just churchy. This is not just religion. I've had people say, well, you're a religious man. And I'm like, well, not really, not on purpose. And they're like, what? Well, you're a pastor, you must be religious. Well, I am religious, but not because that's what it's all about. For me, it's about a relationship with God. Now, religion happens, Because we do things that are certainly traditional and religious, but that's not what I'm about. I'm about a relationship with a living God. Don't be religious, and the world will know this is real. John chapter 13, we just got a couple more of passages, three actually, that we're going to look at real quickly. John chapter 13, verse 34. We read this just recently. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Now, if we stop right there, you're going to say, wait, Pastor, you made a mistake. That should be in number two, integrity with believers. And you're right, but we're going to read on. Verse 35 says this, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see how they tie together? Integrity with God leads to integrity with one another, which leads to integrity with the world. And they find out, wow, you really do love those who are part of your church. You are a close-knit family. You have something special and unique. And it all begins with your love of God, which leads to love one another, which leads to loving those who are in this world. And the people say, it must be real. There's something different with this. This isn't just religion. This isn't dry and empty stuff. This is something more. Because you have integrity with unbelievers as well. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Now, let's be honest. Some of us want to go, aw. Right? Oh, but, no, stop it. I love the old phrase, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And then the guy goes and kicks somebody around. So, wait a minute. You're missing the point. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, not saith you. But we kind of get it all mixed up. And so then we think that we're somehow empowered by God to be his vengeance. No, that's not what we're saying. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, right? I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, yes, your enemy, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing, you will reap burning coals on his head. I got a thought about that. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I had somebody come to me in my office once a while back. Wasn't here. And they said something to this effect. I can't remember the exact words. I was really, really nice to them because I wanted burning coals to fall on their head. I'm like, wait a minute, I think you're missing the point. You do not become nice to somebody so God will go, boom. That's not the point. And they're like, really? Oh, I think you're missing it completely. It was great. I loved it. It was fun. So 1 Peter, last chapter, the last verse. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15 through 17. Integrity with unbelievers. In your hearts, honor Christ as Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. In other words, when you share your testimony, when you share your faith, if they say, oh, that's just really dumb, don't get mad and angry and offended. Show them respect. If they say, you know what, I have a different view of life, that's fine. Respect them. Love them. Verse 16, having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revel your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Your good behavior is the response you should give when someone tries to attack you. What a challenge. What a challenge that is to not respond with evil for evil. But if you are one of integrity, you will. When the waitress gets your order wrong, please be kind. She's working a job, paying bills. When someone, a contractor, makes a mistake, give them a little grace. Because that's what people of integrity do. You don't have a right to be offended. If you're truly living your life as one of integrity, you have already died. And it's Christ who lives within. What would Jesus do? That great statement that's been around for so long. Hopefully, the same thing you're doing. Because you care that much. Would you stand with me as we close? Integrity has become a very rare commodity in today's society. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Can we live by that? Can we love God enough to be those of integrity with Him? Which leads to an integrity with all of God's family, which leads to integrity with this world of which we live. I don't care how bad the jabber and talk on Facebook with Glendive happens. I've seen some terrible things said on Facebook in our community, and it hurts me to see it. I think of the young lady that her son is dead because of a terrible mistake she made. And you probably all know the story. She was out with friends partying, and this kid was in the car, and asphyxiation, what do you call that, from the heat, ended up dying. She's going to go to prison. I weep for her. She was the one taking my orders at Pizza Hut every time we went. Bubbly, beautiful, fun-loving gal. And the things that our community has said about her is shameful. And that's just one of many things. We can do better. Glendive, what's the phrase we're trying to get developed here? Something about Glendive caring. I believe in Glendive. I do. I love this community with its flaws. Because Glendive is people. It's not restaurants and shops and Kmarts and Walmarts. It's people. The only way this is going to change is if it starts with us. We can do better. Don't expect those in the world to do better. Love them in spite of the unfortunate things that are happening. But we can lead the love, the grace. And I'm not saying that this young gal shouldn't be punished for her terrible mistakes. And yet, I certainly don't think we need to tear her down as a person and just really trash her. And that, like I said, that's just one example of other things. I mean, come on. Taco John's got tore down and a new building's going up. So what? Get over it. Seriously? You're going to lose it all for that? Wow, we must have too much time on our hands, right? We can do better. And I know we will. Because we're going to make the standard high. Integrity. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for helping me through my mistakes. And I know, Lord, I make mistakes, but Lord, it's the ones that I do on purpose that I really am shameful of. Those aren't mistakes. Help me to be a better person. Help me to walk in integrity. Help me, Lord, by convicting me by your Spirit when I get close to that line, when the story gets too big. Help me. Stop me, whatever it takes, Lord, even if it's a wonderful, loving friend or family member. I want to be one of integrity. And I want to start with you, Lord. I want to put you as number one. You are the most important person in my life. And Lord, as I love you with my whole being, I know that it will help me to love all within this wonderful family we call the church. And as we love one another, in spite of our differences, in spite of our mistakes and the challenges of life, as we truly embrace one another, and we don't hold things against each other. We say, you know what, let's do this. Come on. We can walk this road of faith. We embrace each other. And that spills over into our love of all in this great community that we live. I pray, God, your blessing on us for integrity. We're going to need a little encouragement along the way, but Lord, we're committed. And I pray that we are to walk with love. We ask your blessing for your sake and for the sake of those who are in this world to find you and know your love. We ask this all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.